Anyway, 2 Peter chapter 2, let's begin reading in, verse 17. Let's start reading there. We're dealing with the false prophets, false teachers, false churches, false movements, all kinds of false ways. I had a little run-in with that yesterday. I don't know if I'll talk about it, but anyway, in verse 17, he said, "These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest." And it says, "To whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever." We're going to look at that here in a little bit. And then it says in verse 18, "For when they speak great swelling words of vanity." And just to touch on that very quickly, be careful of the guys who speak well, who are great orators. Be careful of those who will use whatever natural thing that they have in order to reach people. Just about anybody in any kind of religion can use their voice and sell people on whatever it is that they're selling. Whether it's in sales, whether it's in marketing, or whether it's in religion, they can use men's words in order to bring people in. So you got to be careful of that. "For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them, who live in error." And I'll explain that maybe tonight, or maybe we'll just have to wait on it. But it kind of goes into verses 20 and 21 and 22 and so on. And I know for a fact we won't get that far tonight. But I've got some things to say about it here in a little bit. And it says, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. And while they promised them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. And I want you to kind of mark that in your Bible, because we're going to deal with it. "For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage." And kind of think about that. Now, verses 20, 21, and 22, I'm not going to deal with it tonight. When I get back from Kenya, we're going to do some study onto these three verses here. We're going to look at what they say, we're going to believe what they say, and we're going to match it with the rest of the Scriptures. Is this an isolated thing that Peter's talking about, only to a select group of people, or does this apply from Genesis to Revelation? I believe that the Bible is the Bible, and you're supposed to get your doctrine from the whole lot of it. Amen? Verse 20, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is returned is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire." And I was watching something on, I can't remember what it was, I watched something on television, and all of a sudden they showed all these hogs and everything like that, and all these hogs, it doesn't matter what you do with them, no matter what you do, they're going to go right back to the same slop and the same mud that they came out of. My choir director used to have a sign on his door there in when I was in high school, and it said, "Never try to teach a pig to sing. It wastes your time and it annoys the pig." I'm going, yeah, that sounds about right. But anyway, we'll touch on those things in depth when I come back from Kenya. I want you to go back to verse 17 very quickly. I know I mentioned this, and I think this is where I left off last week. But he said, "These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever." And if you remember, Jude had mentioned something like this as well. Let me see over here in Jude. How did Jude put it? He didn't say they were clouds without water. Peter said they were wells without water, and Jude said that they were clouds without water. And then Peter says, clouds that are carried with a tempest. Proverbs 25:14. Solomon wrote, "Whoso boasteth himself of a false gift is like clouds and wind without rain. And I think those two verses and passages are matched together. In fact, first time I read Proverbs 25:14, I thought of that instantly. I thought, I know what that is. And you have these people all over the country and all over the world that are bragging and boasting about, oh, I've got the gift of tongues. Well, I've got this. I've got a gift of revelations. God gives me a gift. I can prophesy over people. I can see energy around people. God gives me words of wisdom all the time about this, that, and the other. And I was in a meeting one time in Birmingham, Alabama, and it was a hotel meeting room, and I got into the room and I was getting all set up, and there's already some people gathered there, and I was going to be speaking that night, and there was a man in that room, and he reminded me of Elvis. Okay, just the way he looked, just the way he fixed his hair, and he had this long sideburns and everything like that. And this man was going from group to group in this hotel meeting room before the service started. He was going from group to group. I just kind of watched him as I was setting everything up. And he would get involved in the conversation, and then within a few minutes he would get the conversation turned toward him to where he started saying, God showed me, it gave me a revelation and a vision of September 11th, 2001, before it ever happened. And if I heard that one time that night, I heard it five, six, seven times. However many groups there was in that meeting, that's how many people he went to, and that's how many times he said it. And I'm just watching this, and the Holy Ghost is saying, Mike, take a listen to this guy. My first question was, if you knew about this before September 11th, why weren't you standing at the base of those two buildings with a big sign warning everybody that their doom was just fixing to come? Why weren't you warning people? Why weren't you telling people? And let me ask this, where's the evidence that you actually predicted this or prophesied this or saw this before it actually happened? Because let me tell you what I can do. I can make up that God had told me about September 11, 2001, before it ever happened. I could make that up and go tell people, and I would probably be able to find a baker's dozen worth of people that would believe that I had prophesied that. I could make it up. And some people would never even know the difference. And they'd think, oh wow, he's got God all over him. And it occurred to me, this man's going around from group to group. He is wanting people to think of him higher than what he really is. He wanted these people to think that he was some big hotshot prophet and that God was all over him and God was giving him visions and God was giving him this and God was giving him that. And what he was doing was he was boasting of a false gift. And anybody, and from what I heard, he claimed that he was a pastor of a church or whatever, and anybody who sat and listened to him was going to get absolutely nothing from his well or from his clouds. They were going to get nothing. And I want you to think of this idea of what wells and clouds give out. What do they give out? They give out water. These guys don't have any water. What is water a symbol of? Symbol of your Bible. Jesus said he was going to wash the church in the water by the Word of God. This Bible is a cool drink of water to people that are starving and that are thirsty. Can I hear you say amen? What God's telling you, what the Bible's trying to tell you, is that these guys, if you want to go to them for Scripture, good luck, because you're probably not going to get any. They are more about themselves. They are more about their dreams or their prophecies or their own intuition or whatever they feel. They're more about their own personal little revelations that they get from God than they ever are the Word of God. And anybody who goes to them looking for water from the Word of God is not going to get it. These are the ones who boast of all their false gifts. But then he says, there in verse 17 again, these are wells without water. He says, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. Now think about this deal of light and darkness. God created the light. God said, let there be light, and there was light. Light is associated again with the Word of God. It's associated with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, he said, I am the light of the world. He is the Son of righteousness, arising with healing in his wings. We are children of the day. We are not children of the night. We have been given the illumination of God through his word. We have the light of the glorious gospel given to us. And when we, even if there's something that's got a question mark about it, we know that we can go to God, we can ask God questions, and God will be faithful enough to us to give us answers from His Word. But there are people out there who are, they're such liars, they are such deceivers, they are so depraved of anything that relates to the Word of God or the Kingdom of God, that God has already judged them. What I'm saying to you tonight is there are false teachers out there, false preachers, wolves in sheep's clothing, false evangelists or whatever, false pastors. There are guys and women out there that God has already judged them, even though they're still alive on this earth. God has already judged them. He has already pronounced Ichabod over them. The glory has departed. They are already twice dead. And that means that they are not going to be changed. They're not going to listen to you as you try to reason with them from Scriptures. I've run into people like that. You cannot reason with them. You can't give them Bible. In fact, the best thing that I would tell people to say to people, like let's say it's a Jehovah's Witness come to your door, or the Mormons, or any of these other cults out there, best thing in the world I can tell you to do is just give them Bible verses. Because if they won't believe God, they will not believe what you have to say. They won't believe it. They won't buy it. And if God's Word has no effect on their mind or their conscience, it's because their conscience has been seared with a hot iron. Now, God still saves people out of that stuff, and don't get me wrong. But what I'm telling you is, as a practice, I personally, I've had my run-ins, and I'm just getting to the point where I'm just not going to spend a lot of time with people anymore. If the Mormons come to my front door, or the Jehovah's Witness come to my front door, I'm just going to say, in fact, the last time I encountered them, it was Brady's head dog, or whatever it was, the head of this Jehovah's Witness cult out here in Cedar Hill where Brady used to go. And I knew him by name, but I wasn't sure who it was. And he came out there, and it was on Saturday, and I just happened to be outside. And him and another, I don't remember who it was, pulled up there in the driveway. And for some of you who don't know, I live right next door to Brother Sterling here. And we've got some people, well, Matthew now lives in front of us, and there's a couple that lives behind us there. They're renting that trailer out. So this guy come wheeling in on Saturday, and as soon as I saw him, I thought, I bet he's Jehovah's Witness. I bet he's out of Brady's old cult house down there. And he went to one door, couldn't get anybody there, and he's there in the driveway. And I said, excuse me, I said, can I help you? And he started in about how he was, you know, with the Jehovah's Kingdom and wanted to give us some. I said, let me tell you something. I said, I know who you are. And I said, I'm telling you, take this area off of your list. And he said, oh, do you speak for everybody here? And I said, yes, I do. And I said, I'm pretty sure I know who you are, and I think if you find out, you're going to know who I am. I said, you know Brady Crum, don't you? And boy, he went, yeah. I said, well, he goes to my church now. I said, I got him. I was a little bit arrogant about it. And I said, he's done told me all about what you guys do and everything like that. And I said, I'm telling you, we don't want it around here. So get back in your car and just head out. I'm not going to spend time with the man trying to reach him for the Lord Jesus Christ. His mind's already been deceived. He's already been made up. He is a cloud without water. He's a well without water. And as far as that's concerned, the mist of darkness has gone over this man's mind, and he's going to die in that shape. Outside of just an absolute miracle from God, that man is going to die lost. And there ain't a thing in the world I can do to change him. If God can change him, God can. But there are some people that God turns over to a reprobate mind. He sears their conscience with a hot iron. He lowers upon them the mist of darkness, and that mist of darkness is reserved for how long? Forever. Take your Bible and turn to Acts chapter 13. There's actually a picture of this. God drew a picture of it in your Bible, what it looks like and how it's applied. And you're going to see one of my heroes, the Apostle Paul, spring into action. Okay? The Apostle Paul, in fact, at this time in Acts chapter 13, he is still known as Saul of Tarsus. And so, in Acts chapter 13, look at verse, let's pick it up in verse 6. When they had gone through the island of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus. Bar, does anybody know what that prefix represents? If you say tavern, I'm going to walk down there and get Lisa's spoon and give you a whap on it. What? No. No, you're still going to get the spoon. She said, is it the opposite or anti? No. The family of? Bar means son of. There's two prefixes in Hebrew, Ben and Bar. And both of them, it's like Mac in Scottish. Mac means son of. Ol in Irish is the son of. Ben is the son of, and Bar is the son of. Okay? So there was somebody named Yeshua or Joshua or Jesus, and he was Bar Jesus. He was the son of a man by the name of Jesus, not the Jesus you and I know. Amen? Verse 7, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. So I want you to get this picture. Here's a deputy of the country. Here's one of the leaders or one of the political rulers over this particular area. And he hears of Saul and Barnabas. He hears about what they're preaching and he's interested in it and he wants to hear more. And I'm telling you, the devil can spot these people from a long way away. And here this man, this false prophet, Bar-Jesus, who had sort of attached himself to this deputy for one reason and one reason only, to keep him from hearing the gospel and from being saved. They'll spot them out. It's like they know, where, they just kind of sniff on people and know that God's going to do something with them. And I'm thinking of a story there, but I'm not going to waste your time telling it. Verse 8, he said, but Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. There it is right there. Underline that in your Bible. What are the purpose of the false teachers and the false prophets? What are they really after? They're after to turn people away from the, notice your Bible says, the faith. Not a religion, not a spirituality, not a faith, but the faith. As far as I'm concerned, as far as the Bible's concerned, there's one faith and there's one religion in this world that's true in its Bible Christianity. It is being born again. It is being filled with the Holy Spirit. It is a fear of the Lord. It is an honor for His Word and an understanding of who Jesus is. That's the one religion in this world, and that's the narrow way. And I don't care if the whole world is going to turn against us one of these days, and I don't care. If they don't want to hear it, that's just fine with me. I'm going to keep preaching it until whatever happens. But there is one faith and one way. Can I hear God's people say amen? Amen. I'm still not quite up to preaching like... So help me out with the amens, all right? But anyway, he sought the purpose of the false doctrines and the false teachers and the false prophets and the false perverts and everything else. Their purpose, the devil raises them up to pervert the right ways of God and to keep people from coming to the faith. And they will withstand you. They will stand against you. They will work against you. And I guarantee you, you start putting stuff up on Facebook. And let me just say this. If you're the type that's looking for a fight, join Facebook. Now, if you're the type that doesn't want to get in the mix with anybody, stay off of it. Because the moment you start expressing your opinions on what kind of soap you like, somebody's going to come after you on it. Am I telling the truth? But as soon as you start posting things about the... They'll love you and let you say whatever you want to say. But as soon as you start standing up for the right way and standing up for the faith and start standing up for the blood of Jesus and start standing against iniquity and immorality and everything else... Here they come. They're going to work against you. And that what it is that spirit in them wants the opposite voice attached to what you said to draw people back away from it. That's what they want. And so they're going to withstand you. And so here's Saul, verse 9. Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, come now, let us reason together. Let me help you with your doctrine. Will you sit and listen to me for a few minutes? Can I help you? I have a tract written. Would you like to read this tract? Would you like to watch my DVDs? No, it doesn't say that in there. I'm making that up, Jimmy. That's not what Paul said. That's not what he did. Paul was not going to give this guy a chance. He was not going to give this guy a chance. Paul, in the book of Galatians, he starts telling the story about him withstanding Peter to the face, about Peter's flip-flopping on whether the Gentiles should keep the law. And Paul said, all of a sudden we're having this meeting, and these guys, it's funny to hear Paul talk about them. He calls them somewhats. He said, these men come down who were somewhat. But he said, to me, I didn't care who they were. But he said, they wanted to appear like they were some big hot shots, and they came in on the meeting. And Paul said, to whom we gave place, no, not for a minute, or something like that. In other words, he said, I never gave them the pulpit. I never gave them the podium. I never handed a microphone to them, said, let's hear from you. It wasn't about a consensus. Paul was going to preach what he's preaching. He was going to tell the truth, and he didn't want these people damaging it. He never gave them the opportunity. And some people, that's what they want. They wanted to, and I think there's a Sunday school where a visiting lady came in, and I hated that ever since. But all she did was want to argue with me in front of this church on camera during Sunday school. She wanted to give her opinion, and well, I thought this was like an open session, and I'm going, where did you get that idea from? Okay? And I finally told her, I said, ma'am, I've been nice about it, but if you don't be quiet the way the Scripture requires, I'm going to have to ask you to leave. And she got up and left. And that stuff, I hate that stuff. I'm not good at that. I wanted to call Mike Hutzel or Reg Kelly and say, come down here and get rid of this gal for me. I don't like it. But I'm not going to let somebody come in here and contradict the Word of God. And that's what she was doing. I said, I'm not going to let somebody come in here and contradict the Word of God to these people. I'm not going to have it. This is not a debate. This is not an open session. You come here to learn from the Word of God. Amen? And look at what Paul did. He said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil. See, Paul knew the man wasn't saved. He knew who his father was. And I want you to get that. Our Father is God Almighty from heaven. Amen? That's who our Father is. And He has given us of His Spirit freely. Paul knew who this guy was. He knew that he was not saved. He knew he did not have the indwelling Holy Spirit. He knew that he did not believe the Bible. And he named him for who exactly he was. You're a child of the devil. And he said, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And the chief word there is pervert. The right ways of the Lord are His words. And if you want a better understanding of that, go read 176 verses out of Psalm 119. You're going to find out over and over and over again that God's words and His statutes and His judgments, that they are the right way. It's not that it's the right way for us. It is the right way, period. And Paul called him out on it, and he said, will you not cease to pervert? What was he perverting? He was perverting the Word of God. And I want to draw your attention to something just very quickly. I'm not even done with this part of it yet. But God just kind of opened my eyes to something today. Let me read this to you. Back in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 18 and 19, the Bible says, while they promised them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. And I just kind of pondered that today and thought about it, and it dawned on me what that was talking about. Number one, corruption is another word for hell. And I've got verses that will show you that. The grave is corruption. Hell is corruption. God's heaven is preservation for all of eternity. Hell is all about corruption. So this man, these teachers, these false prophets are a servant, number one, of hell. That's who they're born from. They're children of hell. They're children of devil. Number two, since they are a servant of things that are corrupt, like false Bibles. I serve this book. It is the living Word. This is who I serve. The Bible says, do it this way. then I do it that way. Bible says, you idiot, you didn't do it the right way, then I'm the idiot that didn't do it the right way and I need to repent. Amen? I serve this book. They serve corrupt doctrines, corrupt Bibles. And that's what he's saying here. You pervert the right ways of the Lord. This false teacher perverted the right ways of the Lord. That's his master. His master is whatever came out of the devil's mouth. That's what he serves. That's what he knows. That's what he does. That's what he follows. And these who are servants of corruption are only doing what their Lord and their master tells them to do. And it's all full of corruption. And I'll get more into that a little bit later on. But anyway, he says, will you not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? In verse 11, and now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. How long do you think that lasts? Probably 3 months. And we have four seasons, right? And they're all about 3 months apiece. I'm ready for this one to be over. Amen? I sit by my window going, boy, I can't wait for fall to get here. Had that cool breeze blowing in, those leaves falling down off the trees. But he said, and immediately, watch this, immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness. There's the picture of it right there. There's the picture of it. God said that on these men is a mist of darkness is reserved forever to them. And right here's the picture of it. He said, immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Literally, his eyes fell dark and he couldn't see. And that lasted, the Bible says, for a season. And that was a sign not only to the false prophet telling him, I am the man of God and you're not, and I've had it with you and God's casting judgment on you, but that was also a sign to Sergius Paulus, who's watching this now, and he's got the false prophet talking in one ear, and he's got Paul and Barnabas talking in the other. These men hate each other. And Paul hates him with a righteous hatred. Hates what he does. Hates who he represents. And he wasn't nice about it. Now, I'm not setting that up so that I can try to have my way with everybody and be mean to people. It's hard for me to just be mean with people. But every now and then you've got to stand your ground, and sometimes you're going to have to use a scowl to get your point across. You believe that? Say amen. And so this man had a mist and a darkness put on him. It was only for a season. God said these false teachers have it and it's reserved forever. I don't expect that I'm going to see Bar Jesus in heaven. I don't think I'm going to see him there. Amen? But the Bible doesn't say anything, but I think it'd be neat if Sergius Paulus, the deputy of that country, was there. Amen? Because he got to see that. Now let me run some other things very quickly. I learned something the other day. Have you ever heard of this phrase, Nirvana? You ever heard of that before? There's a rock group, calls themselves Nirvana. I don't know anything about them. But Nirvana is in the Eastern mystic religions like Buddhism, religions that where you go into trances and do a lot of mind emptying meditation and things like that. The goal of their meditation and the goal of their religion is called Nirvana. And to them, it is the ultimate of all enlightening. It's like the highest pinnacle of knowing everything in the universe that is. Okay? Ours is heaven. Amen? We'll know everything when we get to heaven. I'm not worried about it. And I'm not getting there by grades and ladders either. Amen? I've already got a spot reserved by Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. I found this out and it just caught me. The word Nirvana, it means blown out, as in blowing out a candle. Okay? Hope I don't damage this. So think about what the candle represents. In the Bible, it was the light. There was a candlestick in the tabernacle, and it was the light of the Holy Spirit. There were seven of them. It was the light of the Holy Spirit, and it was the light of the Word of God. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Nirvana The word means blown out, as in, what happened to the light? It's gone. Okay? And because they use that, it is a union with Brahman, the ultimate of all bliss, who is also chaos. It's putting the candle of reason and understanding out and emptying the mind so that it is void of understanding. In other words, the pinnacle of what they're trying to reach is totally blank and void of all understanding. And they say, well, that's what we're trying to achieve. And I'm going, I think you're already there. Amen? Okay? But then let me just read a couple verses here so you can understand this idea. There are people who want this kind of darkness in their life. That's what they're working for. That's what they're trying to achieve. Psalm 18:28, for thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. Whenever you find yourself in darkness, light a candle. Open the book up. Amen. Start reading. Psalm 82:5, they know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness, and all the foundations of earth are out of course. Psalm 104:20, thou makest darkness, and it is night, wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep. There are certain animals that come out at night. Amen? Owls, different things. Who? Possums? Oh, yeah. Possums? Huh? Raccoons? What about dangerous ones?
Coyotes?
Snakes? Things like that. They'll hide under the rock during the day, and at night they'll come out. Now I want you to take that and apply that to the spiritual realm, because devils are beasts. And God is giving us a sort of an idea and an understanding of how this works. There are certain devils that will not come out. Certain devils that will not come out as long as the light's on. Amen? Keep the light lit. Keep the candle going. Keep it going in your life. Keep it going in your marriage. Keep it going in your home. Let it be burning in your church all the time. Somebody say amen. Because there are certain of these beasts, they don't come out as long as the light's on. And that's what he's talking about there. Psalm 107:10, such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Proverbs 4:19, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Let me just read a couple more and then we'll go. Proverbs 20:20, whoso curseth his father and his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. Boy, that's something to preach at a youth rally, isn't it? Ephesians 5:11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. You know what that means? Light a candle on them. Show them how they're wrong with the Word of God. Colossians 1:13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. 1 Thessalonians 5:4, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. 1 Peter 2:9, last verse. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. God called you out of darkness. He pulled you out of that. We are in the daylight. We can see now what God has to say for us. We can see our sin. We can see the condition of our life and our nation and our religion. We can see those things. And every place you go, shine that light. And some people, they'll just run and hide from you. Is that a way, amen? They don't want anything to do with you. Had a lady that, I can't remember how she put it. I'm probably going to get it wrong. But anyway, she said, pray for me. She said, I've got a friend and I've said some things about what's going on in her country. And I've lost a friend now over that. And I read that. And immediately, it's like the Holy Ghost said, Mike, tell her this. And I wrote it back. And I said, you didn't lose them. They lost you. The only light that they had to shine in their life was from you. And all they wanted was to put you out so you wouldn't shine a light on them anymore. You didn't lose them. They lost you. Now they're never going to see. Think of it that way, people. That's how we're being treated nowadays. Okay? We're not going to lose them. They're going to lose us. And God wants it to be that way with some people, I'm afraid. Let's stand to our feet.